tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out-out's brief candle, life is but a walking shadow. A poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. Welcome to the Film Aspire podcast. My name is Herschel Zahn. You're listening to us at filmaspire.podomatic.com. You can check us out on iTunes, keyword Film Aspire, and all of our episodes are archived at filmaspire.com. So why am I starting off a podcast on filmmaking with a quote from Shakespeare? And if you're not familiar with that quote, that is from Act 5 of Shakespeare's classic, one of my top five favorite plays, Macbeth, about the Scottish lord. Well, that's because today we're going to be talking about time. Macbeth is obsessed in the speech with time, and in fact is quite obsessed with time in general, and that's a big theme of that play. And time is a very important thing when you are considering your film, when to make your film, how to make your film, and how to go about it. And you need to really sit down and think about time and how you're going to use it and what it means for your project on a lot of different levels. So let's start out by just talking about taking your time, because that's one of the most important things. You have to, when you're making a film, sometimes step back, take a breath, and understand that it doesn't all have to happen right now. Right now, right now, right now. Okay? And I say this because when I first started out in this industry, I was in a hurry. I was in a hurry to prove myself. I was in a hurry to become the next great filmmaker. And that does happen. I'm not going to ever be a dream killer on the show. Anybody at any time could find the next thing that works, and you could become the next it thing in Hollywood. Now, odds are that's not going to happen. You're going to have to work really, really hard. And I've been working very hard in this industry for 6 years, and I still would say to anybody, I'm a working stiff. I'm not anybody special. I am a guy who makes movies, and I do a really, really good job at what I do, but I'm still learning, and you always have to be learning. That's one of our big things here on the show. But the timing of everything is critical. There are things that you do at certain times in certain stages of the game. There are things that you never do. There are things that you need to do later or before or after. So, and you have to really budget your time. Just like you would budget your money, you have to budget your time. So speaking of budgets, one of the biggest things I think that early filmmakers do is that they want to do all the fun stuff before the work is done. The time to hold auditions and hold, you know, meetings about locations and talking to people about locations and doing all those wonderful, fun parts of the job is not before the script is written. It's not before the money is raised. Now, if you're going to make a film with no money, that's awesome. That really is, and it's an endeavor that I think every filmmaker starting out should do, and I think that some people who have been in it for a while should consider giving a try, is making an extremely low-budget film. Just to understand, for people who make big-budget films, how hard it can be, because everybody thinks of their job as the hardest thing in the world. That's just human nature. But when you're doing something that costs $20,000 a day to film, and then you go back and you have to do something that's much bigger in scale and scope than what you were doing for $20,000 a day, and you have no money to do it, that really puts a different perspective on it. And I think that for starting first-time filmmakers, if you start out and your first projects have very little money, you appreciate it more when you have it. I've actually had some budget, as I've talked about for the first time on one of my projects that I'm working on right now, Wish for the Dead, and I can't tell you how awesome it has been to know that there's money in the budget to feed the crew, that there's money in the budget for, oh, I need that type of lighting instrument, I can go buy it or rent it, or I need this type of lens, I can go buy it or rent it. That's an awesome feeling. Then, well, I don't have that, so I guess I'll have to do without, or maybe that'll have to come out of my own pocket or anything like that. So you need to take the time to do things right. You should get your script together. That's the first thing. As we always say, we have to start with a story. And you have to, even if it's not the final version of your script, the very first thing in your timeline that you should be doing is getting your script finished, getting your story down. Because that's going to give you something to start to present to investors. Okay, and that's the next thing you have to do. It's the next thing in the timeline, is you have to make sure that your money's there. Now, quite often, and this has been my experience, you don't have a lot of money to make films, and that's usually where I start my conversation. Look, I have a film project. There is no money. Even on this project that I've had some money for, that's generally 9 times out of 10 the way I start my conversations is, I've got a film project. I'd like you to be a part of it in this way, whatever that particular person is, location manager, actor, whatever. I have no money. So that all has allowed me to get things done and get things rolling. Now, if you're going to plan to have money and plan to pay people, then make sure you've got that money or at least some money in the bank before you start on the project. That is critical. Okay, if you say to an actor, yes, we would like to audition you, the job will pay $5,000, and you've got 2 cents in your checking account, well, guess what? You really can't pay that money. So you're essentially, in all technical universal sense, you're lying to that actor or to that director or to that director of photography or to that person, that location manager, that you can pay them, because you can't. You don't have the money. Okay, so that's the first thing you have to do, is figure out if you're going to have financing for your project, and if you don't, that's okay. And B, if you are going to have financing for your project, you make sure you have the money in the bank, not a promise of the money. Because let me tell you something about investors and money. Until the money is sitting in your bank account, the checks have all cleared. Not check in hand. A check in hand is not money. A check in hand is a piece of paper. Ones and zeros in your bank account, that's money. Okay, cash in your hand, that's money. A check, a promise of a check, a promise to take a meeting about a check, these are not, that's not money. That's just exactly what it is. It's a meeting. It's a piece of paper. When you have the money, you have the money. Okay, so you've got your money. Now is the time to go into your pre-production and set a good amount of pre-production. Don't say, as soon as we have our money, we're going to film next week. No, don't do that, because you know what? You don't have to. You're an independent filmmaker, okay? Let's analyze that statement. Independent filmmaker. Independent. That means you're on your own. It's not a studio project. It's not we're waiting for the green light from Warner Brothers and they want the film by November and it's October, okay? Which does happen. That does happen on some of the smaller, low-budget films. I've had issues where they greenlight the I've been on projects, not as a director, but just as a grip, where the project was greenlit in October. We shot in November. They wanted the film finished by February, okay, so that they could do the marketing together. That's being in the studio system. And you know what? When you're in the studio system, you're generally going to get your budgets of $300, $400, $1 million, $2.2 million, all those. You're going to get the numbers, because the money is what makes the timeline shrink. When you're an independent filmmaker, you have the opportunity to do things at your own pace. You shouldn't lollygag by any means. Yes, I just said the word lollygag. Deal with that. You don't want to just sit there on it. You want to get things rolling. You want to get things done. But if it takes an extra week, if it takes an extra 2 weeks, guess what? You've probably been working on this story for years. In the grand scope, in the universal sense, an extra day, an extra week, an extra month is not going to hurt you all that much to make sure that things are done right. Okay? So set a reasonable pre-production period. And let's say if you get the money and you should probably be wanting to start shooting within about 6 weeks. That's a good amount of pre-production time for a feature film. If it's a smaller project, there's much less to think and deal with. You can shrink that down. But for a feature film on the independent level, I would say that 6 weeks is a really good amount of time for pre-production if you have all of your people in place. Odds are you're going to have your director of photography, all those things. Probably it's going to be you, so you have a good idea of what the film is going to look like anyway. But if you're just a person who's putting together a film, maybe you've just got the script, or you're just a producer who has a writer that wants to make a film, I think 6 weeks is pretty good from the point that you've hired a director. Because your director and your director of photography, they're going to want to bring in teams of their own. They're going to have people that they like to work with that makes their process better. So that's the point that you can really start kind of getting your pre-production schedule. So maybe you have a month to find your director, and then from that point you're going to have about a 6 week pre-production period before you start on your principal photography. In that 6 weeks, you are going to be hunting down locations, you're going to be holding auditions and hiring actors, you're going to be figuring out, the complexity of your film. If you're just doing a small independent comedy or a drama where there's not a lot going on, it's a lot easier. If you have a big horror film or a creature feature, that's more time that you have to factor in. If you're going to be doing a lot of your creature feature stuff in post-production, then you've got to find out who's going to be running your post-production in your during your pre-production period. If you're going to be doing a creature feature with practical creatures, which means for those digital heads that are out there that don't understand practical effects, that means the thing is actually going to be done on set. There's going to be a physical being on set that you're going to capture in camera, okay? If you're going to do it all digitally with post-production, you're going to be shooting what's called plates. And for that, you're going to have a visual effects supervisor on set so that the team that's going to be putting together the digital creatures in post have what they need to be able to do that. You know, and then you've got to have, you know, the tenant, you're going to be acting with the tennis balls and doing all that fun stuff like you talk about in Jurassic Park. They had big things on sticks that they were waving around so that those could be removed digitally later on and they could have the perspective correct. So that's something you've got to think about if you're going to be doing a lot of digital post-production. If you got practical effects, you've got to give your practical effects team enough time to get the builds done, which that's what they call making a creature. That's a build or a sculpt or anything like that, to get the build done so that you'll have it by the time you need to shoot it. Okay, and if you haven't checked out the archived episodes of a show called Monster Man that Sci-Fi did, that's a really great show to look at to see how much effort goes into making a practical effect happen. That was Cleve Hall and his team down there in L.A. So check that show out if you haven't had a chance to, or watch Face Off on Sci-Fi Channel. Gives you a good idea of how long it takes to really do some of those practical effects. They edit it down into an hour show, but they give them sometimes 3, 4, 5 days to complete a project because that's how long it takes. It takes that long to plan out, sculpt, and build some of these practical effects. So that's things that you have to take into account. If you're going to have a lot of fight choreography, if it's going to be, you know, a simple punch, a simple slap, generally a good director is going to have some knowledge of how to pull that off on set. But if you're going to have a big, complex fight sequence, you're going to have to hire somebody to come in and stage that and do those fights and those things appropriately. And that means bringing in a stunt coordinator, bringing in a choreographer. It also means you're going to have this little thing called insurance, which that's always fun to deal with that. So eventually we're going to get somebody on the show here to talk about how to do film insurance for the independent feature film. I just haven't found anybody that can really speak to that on an appropriate level. So again, things you got to think about for your pre-production. Do you have insurance? Do you have all of your equipment? You know, have you hired a DP that has all of the camera gear and all of the lighting gear that you need? Or are you going to have to go through a grip company or an equipment rental company to get that equipment? And that's something that you have to have time for. So that's what your 6-week period of pre-production is. Now, let's roll forward in your timeline and let's talk about production. Okay, really, you're going to always break up time when you're talking about filmmaking into really 4 categories: the development area, the pre-production area, the production area, and post-production. Development can take years. I mean, literally can take years and years and years and years. Pre-production, it's going to depend on the size. I've heard as short a time frame as 2 weeks. I've heard as much as a year of pre-production. It just depends on how complex your shoot is going to end up being. Okay, so now you're into production. Now, depending on the size of your script, you've got to, again, bank your time. Now, if you're on a really, really tight schedule, if you're trying to make a summer camp film and it's October and you're going to have snow on the ground, you may have 2 weeks that you can shoot. If you know it's going to be a very, very long film and it doesn't matter what it looks like outside, then you can spread it out even longer. Most films need about 20 to 25 shoot days to get done at the feature length level. Now, that doesn't mean it needs to be 25 straight days. That's always nice, but most of the time us independent guys are not able to put together shoot schedules like that. I've done feature films in as short as 9 days, and that's very common. The fastest film I've ever heard of feature length being done is a 24-hour film, and there was one done actually not too far from here. I can't remember the name of it. It was like Run Zombie Run or something like that. They shot it all in 24 hours and like 6 different camera units. Pretty impressive. The most famous one-day shoot film probably is Little Shop of Horrors with Roger Corman. The original one, not the musical from the 80s, but the original black and white crazy film that introduced us to a little known actor named Jack Nicholson. They shot that film in 24 hours. And that was on film, folks. Film. They were practically hand cranking the camera. Not quite that bad. But, you know, that's your production period. It can range from 24 hours all the way up to as much as a year and a half to 2 years. I've heard of it taking that long. Actually, I've been involved in a project that's going on month 18 to almost a 2 years. It'll be that we've been working on the project. But sometimes it takes that long. Sometimes you lose locations. Sometimes you have to replace actors. Sometimes things just don't work and you have to go back and reshoot. Sometimes the actor had an off day. Sometimes you'll get all the way into your post-production and figure out that you have to do something called reshoots, which means you have to go back and probably do start at the pre-production for your reshoots and go through production, and then you get back into post-production. Time can be kind of messy, as long as you remember that you just have to take a breath and deal with things as they come. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so you wrap your production. Everybody has their tearful, oh, we did it, we did it. Well, for the actors, that's just about the end of the process. The rest of you still have to go through post-production. Again, your post-production is going to be dictated by how the film is being done and who's paying for it. I've heard of post-productions that have taken very, very long time. If there's a lot of digital effects, you're going to be looking at a very long post-production process. You're going to also hear about films that are done very quickly, turned out in a couple of weeks. It just depends on how complicated the post-production process is. If you have a lot of digital effects, you're going to be waiting a long time. Your edit could take about, for a feature film, I think if you sat down and worked on it a little bit every day, you're looking at about a month to edit a feature film, a month of solid effort, normally probably two or three. By the time the edit gets done, you've got to do all of your sound passes, you've got to make sure your dialogue works, then you got to do a sound effects pass, then you have to do a scoring pass, then you have to figure out if you have to do ADR, a lot of things that go into the sound. Same thing with the visual elements. Once you get your film to what we call picture lock, which means you're not going to make any other changes to the edit is where it is, you're going to be constantly adding in effects, or maybe you're going to do some color correction, you've got to do, you know, there's a million and one little things that you have to do in the post-production process to get your film ready. And then you have to hit the evil button that says render when it's all put together and the computer is going to render out the final version of your film. And that can take a few hours. That can take days. I've actually had a friend, John Vanderford, he's been on the show with his film Wingman. I think his computer processed Wingman and it took something like 8 to 10 days to get his film completely done out and pushed out of his computer, ready to be put onto a DVD. Oh, the DVD. Then you have to figure out the DVD and how that's going to look and the menus and the chapter selection and the design of that. Then you got to Photoshop the exterior. Oh, we have to do some pictures and doing all this stuff. There's a lot of time involved. It's time, 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 time. Take your time. Okay? Then once you get through post-production, you're going to do a premiere. There's got to be planning for that. Generally, typically, if you work very diligently, a feature film on the independent level can be done in 6 months to a year. That is about as fast as I think it probably can be done. I'm sure there's people that would disagree with me that the whole process can be done in a month, the whole process can be done in a week. It just depends on your proficiency and how much of a quality product you want to put together. That's what it really comes down to. Your time versus your quality and how fast the team you put together can generate a quality product. If they can do it in a week, bully for you. Time is unrestrictive. Sometimes things are going to happen really fast. Sometimes it's going to take a very long time. I've heard people say that you can't write a script in less, a good quality shootable script, that you can't write a script in less than 6 months. I think that's ridiculous because I would turn around and quote that Sylvester Stallone wrote Rocky in 3 days and that movie won Oscars. So time is solely based on your knowledge, your proficiency, and the knowledge and proficiency of your team. Okay? You know, I've been on sets that moved really, really fast because the actors were Johnny on the spot. I've been on sets that we had to shoot one scene for 3 days because the actors just couldn't get the lines down or the moments weren't happening. So, it all is based on the proficiency and knowledge of your team. Now, here's another thing to think about when it comes to time. As much planning as you do, as much pre-production as you do, as much thought, as much organization, the nature of the filmmaking business is chaos. That's the natural state of a film set. Of a film set is organized chaos. And I don't care what level. I've been on $150 million features. I've been on zero-budget features. There is always, 100% of the time, some level of organized chaos going on. So with all your planning, you need to learn to be flexible with your time. Okay, and I'm going to tell one more story on this topic, and then I'm going to get out of here because we're running close to time here. When we were shooting our original feature film, Girl Number 3, which is for sale at renegadeartproductions.com, shameless self-promotion, look up the podcast on that one, we had a scene set in a novelty shop, and I had gone to the trouble of going and visiting the novelty shop and had to go through all sorts of corporate permissions to get to shoot in this location. We'd done all this pre-pro, and it was actually the very first day of filming that we did on Girl Number 3. And we had done all of this work, and everybody was set. We had rehearsed, and we had done all this stuff. And I'd hired all these different actors, and I'd taken very good care to make sure that we had people that were doing different things than what they had done in the past. And we got on set, and wouldn't you know it, one of my actors didn't show up. And I had to make some very quick decisions because I didn't want to lose the day. I could have shot around it, but eventually I was going to have to come back to that location and shoot again if I lost this scene. And actually, I ended up having to go back to location and finish some things out anyway. But again, time works. That was my reshoots. I had to go back in and do a month of reshoots on that film after I finished it. So I had to make some decisions, and I rearranged the cast a little bit. I pulled one of my crew members that I knew was a proficient actor, again, knowledge and proficiency, and had him play a role. And wouldn't you know it, it ended up being the best scene in the movie, and people constantly talked to me about how good that scene was because the actor was so good, and he wasn't even supposed to play that role. He was there that day to run the clapboard, and he knocked it out of the park. So as much planning as you do, understand that there is a force, and use the force, filmmaker. There is a force at work on films that somehow things will work out. If you do your due diligence, chance favors the prepared mind, Under Siege 2, gotta love some old Steven Seagal movies. But if you're prepared and you allow things to roll as they're gonna roll, because you can't control everything, you can control a lot of things, but there are things that you can't control. If you just allow yourself to roll with it and don't panic, don't freak out, and sometimes just take a step back from the situation and breathe, it will work out and your timing will work out. It may not be, actually, the film's timing will work out because your timing doesn't matter universally. The time that you set that you're going to have your film done, nobody, no human, and no universal quotient cares about your timing. The film has its own timing. And we can kind of, you can compress it, you can push it around, you can force it. But if you force a film, it will show in the final product. And I'm sure if you really sit back right now, pause this podcast, and think about the films that you've seen that just look forced, odds are it's because somebody was forcing the timeline. And time, on the independent level, is our best friend because we are not hampered by a studio executive breathing down our necks saying you must finish this by this time or else, or a union official coming and saying if you don't wrap your 19 shots in the next half hour, you're going to have to pay your crew $10,000 more. Those kind of things. You're not hampered by those time restrictions right now. Someday you might. You might be hampered by the restrictions that, you know, if you don't start your day by a certain time, you're in trouble. So use time to its best advantage. My name is Herschel Zahn. This is the Film Aspire Podcast. If you have questions, comments about the show, please do email us at filmaspire@live.com, and we will get those questions answered. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, always remember to get out there and tell your story.